From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns commences his second message entitled The Model Prayer, part of this series of studies in the Lord's Prayer. Dr. Cairns will be with us shortly. First, please enjoy this devotional thought taken from Faith's Checkbook by Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Our devotional for today is entitled, Night of Weeping, Joyous Day. The text is Psalm 30 and verse 5. For his anger endureth but a moment, in his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. A moment under our Father's anger seems very long, and yet it is but a moment after all. If we grieve his spirit, we cannot look for his smile. But he is a God ready to pardon, and he soon puts aside all remembrance of our faults. When we faint and are ready to die because of his frown, his favor puts new life into us. This verse has another note of the semiquaver kind. Our weeping night soon turns into joyous day. Brevity is the mark of mercy in the hour of the chastisement of believers. The Lord loves not to use the rod on his chosen. He gives a blow or two, and all is over. Yea, and the life and the joy which follow the anger and the weeping more than make amends for the salutary sorrow. Come, my heart, begin thy hallelujahs. Weep not all through the night, but wipe thine eyes in anticipation of the morning. These tears are dews which mean us as much good as the sunbeams of the morrow. Tears clear the eyes for the sight of God in His grace and make the vision of His favor more precious. A night of sorrow supplies those shades of the pictures by which the highlights are brought out with distinctness. All is well.
Trust in God through darkest night, He faithful will remain. I'll trust Him till the morning light restores my sight again.
May from
In this day of many uncertainties, the political unrest, widespread violence, and moral confusion, people are asking, what is it all about? What does life mean, or does it have any meaning? Thankfully, there is one place where despairing men, women, and young people can find the answers to those questions: the Holy Bible, God's inspired, inerrant Word. The Apostle Paul, speaking of the gospel, wrote, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed." He was referring to the righteousness that God gives to sinners on the basis of Christ's death on the cross. A medical doctor who found life's answer in Christ has written a brief summary of the central teaching of the Bible in a booklet called The Meaning of Life and the Love of God. In a few clearly written pages, he explains how sinners can find forgiveness and redemption in God's blessed Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. For a free copy of The Meaning of Life and the Love of God, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, "Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's "Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of The Meaning of Life and the Love of God, and we'll be happy to provide it. On the previous broadcast, Dr. Cairns was examining the structure of that beloved model prayer we have come to call the Lord's Prayer. As we'll see in these few verses, the Lord Jesus Christ set forth the leading features of all true prayer. First of all, we are reminded of the access we enjoy, access into the very presence of our Heavenly Father. Now to begin this second message entitled The Model Prayer, here is Dr. Cairns.
Now we turn once again to Matthew chapter 6. Again today our text is what is commonly known as the Lord's Prayer. Starting in Matthew chapter 6 verse 9, the words of the Lord's Prayer are given after Christ says, "After this manner therefore pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Last Lord's Day, I pointed out that in giving the Lord's Prayer, the Lord Jesus meant us to use it in two ways. First, He meant us to use it as He gave it. And in Luke's Gospel, chapter 11 and verse 2, He says, "When ye pray, say." And He gives us the wording of the Lord's Prayer. This is a prayer to be prayed. But second, according to Matthew 6, He meant us to use it as a pattern for all our praying. And that's how we're considering it at the moment. You may recollect that last week I said, as we take an overview of the Lord's Prayer, we can see the pattern of all our praying as we consider first the structure of the prayer. And we spent some time looking into the peculiar structure of the Lord's Prayer. Now today I want us to take the next step and to show you that this is a pattern for our praying because of the features that the prayer exhibits. This model prayer, in effect, highlights some leading features that must mark all true praying. This model prayer teaches us these things about all prayer. Now, consider first the outstanding feature of this prayer and of all true praying is the access we enjoy in prayer. Jesus says, "When ye pray, say," or "after this manner pray, Our Father, which art in heaven." And as we think of those very, very familiar words, let us not allow the familiarity of the words to dull the tremendous truth that they carry to our hearts, that here we are upon the earth with all that that involves, in all our weakness, in all our sinfulness, in all our need, surrounded by all our problems. Here we are on earth, and yet we have access to the God of heaven. Our Father tells us very clearly, we have access to Him. You remember how the Apostle Paul emphasized this twice as he wrote to the Ephesians. Now it's a very important thing to note that this double emphasis is found particularly in the book of Ephesians, because Ephesians shows the Christian in the heavenlies. The Ephesian epistle is the epistle that explores the fullness of what it means to be in Christ. It shows us all the blessings that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And in chapter 2, verse 18, Paul says, through Him, that is through Christ, we both, that is Jew and Gentile, have access by one Spirit unto the Father. And then in the next chapter, in a wonderful verse, chapter 3 and verse 12, he says, in whom, again, in Christ, we have boldness. The word boldness in these texts about prayer in the New Testament has the idea of liberty of speech, of coming to speak our hearts freely and openly before God. Without, as I have pointed out in all the preliminary studies, without ostentation, but without all the restrictions that so much of man's religion would put on us, allowing us honestly to open our hearts to God, we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him. Consider what that means. The New Testament shows us clearly that we who know Christ as Savior, and I must emphasize, those are the people addressed in all these texts. We who know Christ as Savior have a right of entrance into the holiest. Everyone else is shut out of the holiest. It is only in Christ that we have access. Why? Because Christ is the only one, the only man, the God-man, who earned the right of access into the presence of God. No other man deserves on his own merit to be able to enter into the holiest. It is only in Christ that there is a way in. Outside of Christ, there is no way in. All the religions of the world are seeking to batter a way into the presence of God. They're seeking to buy a way into the presence of God. They're seeking to make men feel, by various psychological gimmicks and demonic counterfeits, that they are in the presence of God. But let's understand this, that outside of Jesus Christ, there is no way to God. The ecumenical lie that all religions ultimately lead to God is just that. It is a lie. In Christ we have access. That means we have right of entrance into the holiest. As Paul wrote to the Hebrews, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter in. Notice the conjunction of the two thoughts that we noticed in the third chapter of Ephesians. Boldness and entrance. We have boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. It means we have an open door to the Lord. A standing invitation from the God of heaven. Doesn't he tell us through James the Apostle in chapter 4 of his epistle? Draw nigh unto God, and he will draw nigh to you. We have an open door to God, and we have the ear of the Almighty. Peter quotes the psalmist in those beautiful words, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. This is what the Savior is teaching us. We may come to God because He's our Father. We may come to Him at all times. We may come to Him in all places. We may come to Him with all our needs. We may come to Him with boldness and freedom of speech. We may come in perfect confidence that He will not refuse His children an entrance and a hearing. So the very first thing we learn about the art of praying is that true prayer gives us access. This is the access we enjoy. But the second feature of the Lord's Prayer, it's a pattern for all prayer, centers upon what I will call the assumptions we entertain in prayer. This is something, as I considered the Lord's Prayer as a whole, that I was blessed in thinking about. You see, underneath the words there are assumptions. There are things we accept, and because we accept them, assume them and believe them to be true, therefore we pray the words that are given to us here. These then are the foundations of the words, or to change the metaphor, these are the roots out of which these particular words and expressions flow. The first assumption clearly is that our Father is absolutely sovereign. That's clear in how the Savior tells us how to pray and what to pray. As we come to God in prayer, every one of us is what the world calls a Calvinist. I don't find any Arminians on their knees. Now, don't misunderstand me. I am not saying that Arminians don't pray. I am saying when they pray, they're not Arminians. That's what I'm saying. I have never yet heard a Christian come and say to God and say, Lord, help that man to save himself. Or help that man to help you to save him. A Christian knows rightly that's garbage praying. It's nonsense. A Christian comes to God, and as he expresses himself to the Lord, every expression of his heart is expressing this great inward assumption of every Christian soul that our God is absolutely sovereign. He is in heaven. He is the King of heaven. I've noticed in reading various Jewish prayers that they tend to pray a lot to God, the King of the universe. Now, I must confess that if that is the only or the usual way in which you address God, it seems to put such a distance between you and God that there is no real personal communion. But nonetheless, there is an emphasis there that we ought never to forget. When we're coming to our God, we are coming to the King of Kings, to the Lord of Lords. We are coming to the one of whom we read in the book of Nehemiah this morning. When Nehemiah, in chapter 1 and verse 5, cried, "I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God." God is absolutely sovereign, ruling in absolute power, His will invincible, His actions irresistible. Who can stay His hand or say unto Him, "What doest thou?" That's the first assumption. I wish I had time to expand on this. My wife always gets scared when I say that, for she said, "You go on to take the time anyway." But I'm really not going to do that this morning. But I wish I could get you to think deeply in this. The measure of all your praying will be the measure of your understanding of the greatness of God. The more you are overwhelmed by the absolute sovereign greatness of God, the more you will be encouraged and enabled to pray. The bigger your vision of God, the greater your prayers to Him will be. That's the first assumption we have when we pray: the absolute sovereignty of our Father. Now, theologians call that the transcendence of God. But going alongside of the transcendence of God in all Christian theology, and you'll find this in the Bible very, very clearly, there is what theologians call the immanence of God. What does that mean in very simple language? Yes, our Father is absolutely sovereign, but yet He is interested in our affairs, both small and great. And if that were not so, the whole Lord's Prayer would be a mockery. The Lord's Prayer is based on this assumption that this great God of heaven is our Father. And like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. He remembers our freedom. He knows that we are only dust. He is sovereign, but yet He's interested in our affairs. As the psalmist put it in the 40th Psalm, in verse 17, "I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh on me." The Lord thinketh on me. And for that reason, we can pray not only for the great worldwide success of the gospel, but for such a small matter as our daily bread. We can pray not only for the great cosmic events that surround the eternal purpose of God or flow from it, but we can pray for our own particular needs, our own particular situation. It may be small in the eyes of the world, but not in the eyes of our Father.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.